Welcome to the Ask Dr. Turner Radio Ministry broadcast. Prepare to be enlightened and empowered. Without further delay, here's your host, Dr. Turner.
Greetings, beloved, and welcome once again to the Ask Dr. Turner radio broadcast, a broadcast that I believe is truly designed by Holy Spirit with you in mind. This broadcast is brought to you by Pure in Heart Deliverance and Outreach Ministries International, located at 2851 Edgewood Avenue North. Our service times are Sundays at 12 noon, and I would be remiss if I did not invite you out to service. God has been blessing in the services, and we want you to be a part of it. You know, as we draw closer and closer to the end of not only a year, but a decade, a year I suspect many of you would say, in light of the coronavirus pandemic, have been one of your most difficult in this life. But know this, God has kept you through the difficulties, through the trying times, and that means he still has a purpose and a plan for your life. So continue to be encouraged. And know here that we at the Ask Dr. Turner broadcast at Pure in Heart Deliverance and Outreach Ministries International continue to pray for you, our listeners, and your family. As previously stated on many occasions, we strongly believe in the power of God to demonstrate in the lives of people through prayer. Hence why Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint. And one of the purposes of this program is to help you deal with the questions you may have as you navigate it over the obstacles that you face in this life. You can email your questions to Ask Dr. Turner, the number 8, at gmail.com. That is ASKDRTURNER, the number 8, at gmail.com. Or you can visit us on the web at AskDrTurner.org. Now, I just said how important prayer is to the ministry, and that is why the Spirit of the Living God gave Dr. Turner the unction to record a phenomenal prayer CD, one that will be a tremendous blessing to you and also to those in your sphere of influence. And you can obtain a copy or copies of that awesome CD at AskDrTurner.org. And at this time of the year, it's normally a time of the year that's marked by giving. I would ask you to remember this broadcast, remember this ministry. No gift given from the heart, beloved, is too small. If you choose or desire to send a Cash App, a donation via Cash App, you can do so using the $ capital P, capital I, capital H, followed by the word church with a capital C. Or you can write to us questions that you may have. Write to us. Send a donation if the Lord touches your heart to do so. Write to Pure in Heart, P.O. Box 26725, Jacksonville, Florida 32226. Once again, I'm very, very excited to share the word of the Lord with you on today. And we're coming out of Acts chapter 9 today. And I want to talk to you from the perspective of whether it's religion or relationship. Religion or relationship, the two important R's. Acts chapter 9, verses 5 and 6 has two questions asked by Paul when he had his Damascus Road encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I sincerely believe it is two of the most important questions every human being should get answered. Let's go to Acts 9, 5 and 6. And Saul said, this is the first question, "Who art thou, Lord?" Inquiring of the identity of the one who spoke to him on that Damascus road. Now, Paul was an individual of pedigree and stature. He was a Pharisee, which means he lived a very strict life, adhering to the laws given by God to Moses. He studied under one of the great teachers, a doctor of the law by the name of Gamaliel. Yet he had no knowledge of the identity of the Savior of the world. He had religion, but he did not have relationship. There are millions of people in this world who are strict adherents of religion, but have no relationship with the only wise God, the Savior, to whom Jude said belong both glory and honor. Some of these people are so fanatical in their belief in their God, they are willing to kill and maim in the name of that God. They're willing to perpetrate the most heinous of what I call crimes. They think they're doing something good, but they will perpetrate the most heinous acts against individuals who are outside of their belief system. Paul was one of those individuals. He had great zeal, but no knowledge as it pertained to the risen Lord, the Savior. This led him on a crusade against the followers of Jesus Christ, because he was steeped in religion, but was void of relationship. This is what he told King Agrippa concerning what he did to the followers of Jesus Christ. This is recorded in Acts 26, verses 9 through 11. You can read it fully in your devotional time and study it out. This is what he said. Using the first person personal pronoun, he said, "I verily thought within myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue. And I compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities." He was fanatical in his desire. He was in cahoots and a co-conspirator with the chief priest at the time to stamp out now and to destroy, to imprison, to kill, to maim, to get to blaspheme the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, he uses the term exceedingly mad against them. Keep in mind, he thinks he is doing something that is in the will of God. He thinks he is doing something that is pleasing unto God, because he considered these people now to be against the laws of Moses. So he figured now by persecuting them, by consenting to their death and their imprisonment, that he was doing something acceptable to God. He says, "I persecuted them even unto strange cities." This is why you see individuals who are in religion, sometimes their acts are more heinous and reprehensible than individuals who are in the world system, who do not profess to be part of any type of religious system or beliefs. It is interesting that the first five words that he spoke was, "I verily thought with myself." Obviously, he was not led by the Spirit. He was doing what he thought was right, what the chief priest wanted him to do. Obviously, they had an agenda. The chief priests, they had an agenda. They wanted to maintain their system, their control over the people. Christ had come to set the captives free, not only those who were in sin, but also those who had been bound by all these extra things that these religious leaders were putting on the people that was not sanctioned by God. So a person can be in religion doing what he or she thinks is right, but wind up causing great harm because they are not in tune to what God Almighty truly wants them to do. Right? He's not being led by the Spirit of God. He's following now the chief priest and following now what he thought was the right thing to do. When he asked the first question, "Who art thou, Lord?" he received what all people need. The answer, a revelation of the Savior. Here is Jesus' response. And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Since he also told King Agrippa that the voice that spoke to him in the Hebrew tongue, he must have heard the Lord say, "I am Yeshua," which means "I am the Savior. I am salvation for the lost." And because of that, what you are doing is kicking against the pricks. Now, that word pricks now, the Greek word, is the word kentron. K-E-N-T-R-O-N. And it means a point that is something that can sting you. Figuratively, it means something poisonous. The Lord was letting him know that what he was doing was against the very God he thought he was serving, which means it was going to be an exercise in futility. This is what happens when there is religion that is void of relationship. A lot of time and energy is spent doing things zealously, albeit thinking it is what God wants, what he desires, but it is actually against the will of God. This is why Jesus told us, you know, gave us in the model prayer, the instructions, pray that my kingdom come, that my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not a man's will, not a woman's will, not a religious will, but the will of the Lord. When the Lord revealed his identity to him, Paul realized how disastrous his actions were. And this led him to ask the second important question. The Bible says, "And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" So number one, by way of a recap, the first question is, "Who art thou, Lord?" That means it is imperative and important, glory to God, as far as eternity is concerned, that each person gets a revelation of who Jesus Christ is. It is not enough for them to be in some form of religion. They must get a revelation of Jesus Christ. Hence why evangelism is so important, beloved. You know, when he was on his way with letters from the chief priests to apprehend those who were in the faith, I'm sure he felt strong, he felt bold, he felt empowered because he felt he was executing the will, the purpose, the plan of the Lord. But he soon found out it was the opposite, and now he's trembling and astonished when he's now introduced, glory to God, to the true, the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And he has to ask, What will thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Beloved, when you are truly seeking the will of God, seeking to do the purpose and the plan of God in the earth that he would have you to execute, God will cause you to arise from where you are, and he will send you to the place where he needs you to be. There is a day that is coming when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The persecutors of the church, the persecutors of the followers of Jesus Christ will tremble in astonishment when they realize that all that they have done is to kick against the pricks, that all they have done, all that they were doing, glory to God, was not in the will of God, but was actually detrimental to what God would have manifest in the earth. And that is that individuals, sinners, backsliders would come to a place of repentance and yield now, glory to God, in faith, receiving repentance now, receiving, glory to God, restoration and becoming part of the kingdom of God. But knees are going to bow. Tongues are going to confess. As with Saul, as with Paul at that particular time, who, you know, was strong and haughty when he was going with the letters of the chief priests. There are individuals in the world today, glory to God, that have a certain amount of power and authority in certain nations. An individual can be put to death just for witnessing of the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Individuals who are part of a particular belief system in terms of religion, and they come into a knowledge somehow of who the Lord Jesus Christ is, and they want to renounce that religion, they can be put to death. In some of these religion, if a woman falls in love and seeks to marry someone outside of that religion, she is considered to be one now who has brought shame to her family, and she can be stoned, she can be murdered. My goodness. And people actually, these particular individuals actually think they're doing something that is acceptable, actually pleasing to the God they think they're serving. So the time, glory to God, will come when every knee will bow and every tongue will have to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every persecutor, I must repeat this, of the church, of the body, of the followers, will tremble in astonishment when they realize that they have been kicking against the pricks. You see, it is not enough to be religious. Even if religion has you doing what is called good works, it is not enough to be religious. It is of the utmost importance to be in a committed relationship with the Lord Jesus. One of the scriptures I mentioned on the last broadcast is worth repeating here. Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 and 5. Of course, Matthew 24, Jesus Christ spoke to his disciples concerning things that would befall the earth in the latter days. Matthew 24, again, verses 4 and 5. And Jesus answered and said unto them, his disciples, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. In other words, they will come, say, listen, I am the Savior, or believe in this particular religion, because that's the only way that you can draw nigh unto God. And they shall deceive many. Jesus' words should be very concerning to everyone. Not just the people who are outside of the ark of safety, but even those who are in a relationship with him that should have a desire to see people saved and set free from the bondage of sin, but also the bondage of false religious beliefs, a false religious system that has them doing things that they think, glory to God, will allow them to hear at the end of it all that they have done well. They have done something that is acceptable. Jesus didn't say that only a few would be deceived, but he said many would be deceived. Hence the importance of the words found in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, "Examine yourselves," he wrote, "examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith." Not whether you be in religion, not whether, you know, you're just saying that, hey, I believe in the existence of God. You know, I go to church, I give money to the poor, I help to feed, I help to clothe. No, he says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. I guess it's kind of like the scripture that says, work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. Prove your own selves. Know ye not that your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. This is very clear here. Individuals, glory to God, who are not in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, who have not submitted their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, not just those who are sinners, but even those who are in a religion, if that religion is void of a knowledge and a yielding now to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, they run the risk at some point of having a reprobate mind. All of us who name the name of Jesus Christ must do some self-inventory from time to time. We must have some inflection and even some reflection to make sure we are in the faith, to make sure what we are doing in the name of God, in the name of the Lord, is according to the will of God. This is so important, beloved, that in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass." That is what he desired in his human self. Remember, he was Theanthropus, the God-man. In his human self, he said, "Listen, if it's possible, let this cup pass. This cup of bitterness, this cup of sorrow, this cup, glory to God, of me going to the cross, if it is possible, let it pass. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." I believe that Jesus, glory to God, spoke these things also that we would understand that it is very important that our human will be in, a close connection or submitted to the divine will of God. "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." In other words, my human will might be saying, "This is difficult. This is more than I can bear. But I yield to your will, Almighty God, because I know what is best." Glory to God. You may be struggling, beloved, with something. You may be dealing with a situation right now that you feel is overwhelming, more than you can bear. Simply release the words, "Nevertheless, Father, not my will, but thine be done. When the will of God is being executed in your life, He gives you the strength, He gives you the courage, He gives you the ability now to overcome the very thing that seeks to debilitate you. It cannot be self-will, beloved, because only what we do for Christ will last. I often say what we think is a good thing does not mean that it is a God thing. We have to be able to differentiate and know the difference between what we may think is a good thing, but is something that is displeasing to the Lord. You know, when Paul arrived after the conversation, after the encounter on the Damascus Road, when he arrived at the house in the city the Lord Jesus sent him to, the Lord sent a man named Ananias to let him know what his divine assignment would be. Pick it up in Acts chapter 9, verses 15 and 16. But the Lord said unto him, Ananias, go thy way, for he, Saul, is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, the assignment is awesome. The assignment is amazing. Of course, the assignment is much greater, obviously, and in the will of God than the assignment he had from the chief priest, right? He's heard that he's a chosen vessel to bear the name of the Lord before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, yet he must know how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Beloved, when you are called to do the will of God, when you are called to bear the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be suffering and some of it will be great, but trust me, it is a wonderful, awesome thing to suffer for righteousness' sake, to suffer for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, it does not feel good in the natural, and that is why we say, Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Believers who put their faith, their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation are chosen vessels unto him, and he has a purpose and a plan for their lives. So it is incumbent upon them to find out what that plan is and to make sure they execute it, glory to God, with strength, with vim, with vigor, of course, with the help of the Holy Ghost, because without him, none of us will be able to execute the purpose and the plan of God, the will of God for our lives. Because not doing so, not finding out what God's plan is, not having a willingness to execute it, is tantamount to disobedience, to rebellion, to what the Lord told Paul he was doing, which was kicking against the pricks. Beloved, it's been such a blessing, such a privilege, such an honor to co-host, to sit in for the Honorable Dr. Apostle Tanya Turner, Pastor Deborah Freeman, two of my favorite people on the planet, Pure in Heart Deliverance Outreach Ministries International, whom I've been in covenant and fellowship with over a decade, and God-sparing life as we're coming to the, I believe this is the penultimate, second to last broadcast. I want to reiterate again, what a blessing it has been to minister the word of life to you on a weekly basis on this awesome station, Praise 107.9 FM. Beloved, remember these teachings are divinely designed by Holy Spirit with you in mind. And if you need someone to pray for you, to minister to you, someone to speak to you, please call our prayer line. One of our intercessors is standing by, 904-765-7600. Shalom.
Thank you for tuning into the Ask Dr. Turner radio broadcast, a ministry of Pure in Heart Ministries. To learn more or to submit your questions to Dr. Turner, email askdrturner8@gmail.com or visit askdrturner.org.
We look forward to having you join us again next Saturday at 6:30 p.m. right here on Praise 107.9.